Good morning. We are here again. I am Marta Catalinas. I'm a pediatrician in Round Rock, Texas, and I am here with my friend Fer Candil. Hi, Fer.
Here is Fer Candil. How are you? How is everyone today? Thank you for welcome, and thank you for listening us again one more week.
One more week. We have to introduce an uninvited participants, because I'm sure they are going to participate, and those are the dogs, Grace, Doge, Zumito.
Zumito.
Zumito. So if you hear barking, that's our little pets. Don't pay attention to it. Just keep going. So we're here because we want to give you good information about nutrition. And today we have a recipe, a new one, right?
Fair? Yes, a new one. But before we talking about the recipe, Marta, I think it's a subject about everyone is very worried about it. It's about cereals and grains. I think it's very, very important ingredient in our toddlers and babies' nutrition. And when we try to feed them in a really good way. But I think it's very important to talk first about how is the cereals in our context, in our environment. Why traditionally we thinking cereals is the first ingredient we have to give to our babies after the milk or the breast milk or the formula. So we are very lucky to have Dr. Catalinas here to explain us how is the process, when is good to introduce the cereals, and all of this stuff. Like, it probably is gonna help you a lot.
Well, I hope. There's a lot of questions there.
Yes, I know. Okay.
A lot of questions.
So let's start slowly.
You're
right.
So, we're going to talk about mainly rice, but cereals in general, right?
Yes.
Because the recipe is about rice. Let's
anticipate
that. So, recipe is about rice, but interestingly, rice cereal has been traditionally for decades the first food we introduce when we introduce food to babies, when we introduce solids to babies. Why? Well, because the cereals in general, the baby cereals, I'm talking about baby cereals now, they are easy to prepare, they create the right consistency for somebody who is not used to solids, so it's great for that as that first food. But we now know that we can as well introduce other foods and we are still okay. So the first food doesn't have to be cereal, it can be vegetables, it can be fruits, as long as it has the same consistency. Because remember, at the beginning, when the baby is 4 or 6 months old, the difficulty is chewing and swallowing, and so we want it very fine. Of course, we don't want something very heavy to the stomach, but usually we don't do that. And so rice is an option, but it's not the only one, and it should not be the only one, for reasons that we're going to explain in the future, in a few minutes here.
Originally, the pyramid.
Yes, that's, yes, for adults, exactly. The pyramid, the food
pyramid. Food pyramid.
We were talking about this a few minutes ago. The food pyramid, remember, it has a big base, and that in that big base were the breads and the cereals. And
that's what I remember when I grew up my kids.
Now, we realize that we are taking too much of that, and I'm now talking about adults, and I'm sorry we are mixing adults with babies here, but we're going to be
in general. So
that,
we invert the pyramid.
Now we inverted the pyramid. Exactly.
Okay, that's
so
interesting.
We realize that it is important to have protein there, at least at the same amount that we have the carbohydrates, otherwise we're going to be loading too much on the carbohydrates. But for babies, those baby cereals that are great, they add iron, vitamins, they are fortified with minerals, they are a good source of fiber. And so when the baby is 4 to 6 months, you can start with that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be rice. You can do oatmeal, you can do barley, you can do mixed cereals. And so that's the advice now. Introduce variety, not just rice.
That's a good thing to know, Marta. But why the cereals is now one of the most important ingredients in America to introduce in all the foods? Because even my youngest daughter, who is 20 years old, is in college, sometimes is telling me, okay, before I'm going to bed, I'm gonna take some cereals with milk, or in the morning, or sometimes as a snack. So it's gonna make like the main ingredient in any diet even for teenagers. So I would like to know, you know, why is the reason? Because in Spain we don't eat a lot of cereals like here.
Well, now they're starting. They're starting too.
They're starting too.
In this country, we produce a large amount of cereals, and they have to have an outlet. They have to sell. They have to go. So the traditional American breakfast, the one that we saw in those, you know, the Brady Brothers and the Brady Bunch was,
yeah,
you know, those movies, you know, when we were little and we watched that. And what did they have for a breakfast? It was cereal. And we back in Spain, we didn't even have that kind of cereal.
And it's cheap at the same time.
Yes, it is cheap. And so it was a traditional American food, and now over the years they make it marketing, made it so attractive. Cereals have different flavors, different colors.
Oh my God, a lot of flavors. Yeah,
it tastes great.
And it's easy to eat.
It's easy to eat.
You don't have to cook a lot.
No cooking necessary. So it has all the ingredients for abuse. And like with like with anything, a little bit is good. Too much may not be that good. So I hear that a lot. What you say about your daughter. Teenagers that say, oh yeah, before I go to bed I just have some cereal, or if I come home from school and I have nothing really that is attractive, eat some cereal. And they say, well, it's just 100 calories, it's not bad. Well, it's not the calories really, but consider that 100 extra calories a day will give you 10 extra pounds at the end of the year. So be careful.
Oh my God.
Oh no, it's just a little juice, or it's just a little soda.
Yeah, it's a little bowl. Yes, with milk.
Okay, well, be ready, because the pounds follow. And so this food is good. This food cannot be abused. And the market out there presents it in a way that invites to overeat this kind of food. And so rice in particular, just talking about rice, is a staple food for many diets and many cultures. Is eaten in hundreds of countries. There's over 40,000 variety of rices. I didn't realize there are a lot.
And you know, so Asia is the second producer in the world of rice.
Well, it's part, the Asian diets are based on
Yeah, it's
on
like
rice.
A bread so, for us, is
exactly.
the rice for them.
And so, yes, it adds fiber, vitamin B, magnesium, phosphorus. I mean, but we have to realize that when we eat it with every food, or those diets that introduce rice with every single other food, it has a high glycemic index. So take that into consideration, that what is the glycemic index? Well, it measures how fast and how much a food is able to increase your blood sugar.
Wow.
So
that's
if
important.
You have a high glycemic index, means that that particular food makes your blood sugar go up very high and very fast.
Okay? Oh, wow.
So that's not good for the pancreas, that has to produce insulin, and anyway, can lead to diabetes and other health problems. And so take that into account. That's why rice is good to prepare it and mix it with another food, maybe with some meatballs, maybe with some protein of another kind. And so, and of course, don't introduce it or don't add it to every single meal, because if you eat cereal in the morning and then rice with your lunch, rice with dinner, cereal as a snack, cereal before you go to bed, you are overloading your body with carbohydrates.
So we are going to the point again, a balanced diet.
Exactly.
So the good diet is not just because it's Mediterranean diet or Asian diet. It's just made the balance. So it's good to have cereals. It's good to have rice, but in a balance. Not only rice, not only cereals, not only meat, not only vegetables. It's just a balance of all the foods.
If you look at every meal and you make sure that it has a little bit of everything, then you're doing okay. And if you make sure that we eat only, we talked about this many times before, the schedule. Those snacks that I go and make myself a bowl of cereal, it is not a good idea, because that bowl of cereal is probably very processed, sugary, sweet, adds calories, but also teaches your brain to crave carbohydrates. So breakfast, lunch, after school snack, dinner, that's what I recommend for
Like a five kids. Meals a day.
Four meals a day. Yes.
Okay.
And so another consideration, something that we have to talk about, is arsenic.
This
is in the news.
It's a little scary.
It is, of course, yes, because arsenic is a toxic.
Yeah.
It's a trace element, But we have to realize that it's present everywhere. It's present in the soil, in every food and drink that we have.
And it's all the chemicals they treat the...
Well, there's arsenic is a natural element in earth. So
yes.
It's present in the soil,
on the soil
in a natural way.
Okay.
But also... the chemicals, the pesticides add arsenic. And some fruits and some vegetables, they don't absorb it that much, but rice happens to be at the top of the list of food that absorbs and accumulates arsenic.
Oh, wow.
And so this is the inorganic arsenic, because there are two kinds, the organic and the inorganic. And the inorganic is the more dangerous for health, for your health, because in high amounts, it can produce cancer, diabetes, heart disease. I mean, it's not a good thing to have. But we cannot avoid it either completely, because we won't be able to eat if we. It's like radiation. Well, the sun produces radiation, the earth produces radiation. You know, it's one of those things that we have to realize that moderation is control of the amount and the frequency. So it's present in everything. Rice being the main one that accumulates, one more reason to be worried. When are you worried then? Well, you're worried if you follow like an Asian type of diet that includes rice with every single meal. Also, it's a concern for gluten-free diets, not because the gluten-free diet is bad, but because it relies on rice as the cereal or the carbohydrate, and then it's easier to overload on the rice when you follow one of those diets. So just be careful. Just they say that cooking the rice and washing it before
yes.
you cook it, right? It kind of eliminates...
Yeah, in many countries and many recipes, you have to wash the rice before to be sure you are cleaning.
Yes. And so one of the reasons is also apparently it eliminates part of them.
Yes, the arsenic.
But see, some of our waters have arsenic too. So you're cooking the rice with water.
No, and I think when you cook, all these risk disappear because you are cooking and boiling with water. So I think it's all the risk is...
Well,
and if it is balanced, like
gets,
you don't eat too much.
It gets washed away, of
yes.
course, if you. But if you cook with water that contains arsenic, then it may not be as good. But anyway, you do what you can. You cannot be to the extreme of, we don't want to go to the extremes. No more rice, no more this
exactly,
or that. Because
exactly.
then you won't be able to eat anything.
Yeah.
And so just be
That's
aware.
True.
And limit with babies and the baby food and the baby cereal. The FDA limited the inorganic amount of arsenic in the cereals to 100 parts per billion. And the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, what they did is they recommended to use a variety of cereals, like we say before, instead of just rice, always rice for the babies, just do oatmeal, just do barley, mixed cereals. If you do that, baby will be okay. So at least baby cereals are watched, are, you know, we know
yeah.
that.
With the taking care of that.
Right. But we learned that the cereal doesn't have to be the main or the first food for babies. And what some of my patients tell me that they do is when they start introducing solids to the baby, the purees and all that, what they do is they add a spoonful of cereal to it.
Wow. And, because they try to make thicker.
They think probably. That thicker means sleeping longer or being more full or whatever. And so that's a practice that we want to stay away from. If we are going to give cereal, it's going to be once a day. Make sure that it's not rice all the time. And that's it. And if you do that, you're okay. With babies, with adults, well, maybe eat rice once a week and follow those recommendations. You wash it and cook it. And they say that the basmati and the jasmine rice apparently has a decrease, less arsenic. So those are the preliminary pieces of information. We want everybody to be aware. But rice, of course, in our cuisine, of course, in Spain, paella. You
wow.
make paella.
Yes,
oh.
yes. I cook paella all the time. And it's very interesting because we work with three different kind of rice, basically, in Spain, who is large grain, medium, and short grain. The large grain is the most common use in Asia and Brazil. Mm. Even Brazil don't eat a lot of rice like mm. Asia, but is one of the most important producers of rice. But in Spain, we are used more common medium and short grain. The sour grain is the one who has more starch. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the one we use to make risotto. And bomba rice, who is medium grain, is the one we use and have like a 1/3 of starch of the risotto, like the short grain. And it's washed before you cook, so that's the reason we don't need to wash when we use for the paella. And we treat the rice. And when we sell in, it's just ready to consume without need to consume, probably because it's taking care about of the arsenic you are talking about and all the risk about the rice. And we eat a lot of rice, but it's true, like we always mix rice with something, even with the paella. Paella is with saffron, olive oil, and always with meat or seafood or vegetables. So
even it's a balanced meal. Paella is
it's
a meal. Balance.
Yes,
it's a, meal.
It's
you
a
paella,
whole meal.
That's it. It's a whole
you know,
meal.
Because it was the historic. It was a shepherd's meal. So it was the only whole meal they have a day. So they have to eat the five basic ingredients for their whole meal was vegetables, meat, grain, wine, and water. So and olive oil. So the fat also with the olive oil. And they prepare this whole meal because they don't have the opportunity to have two or three meals. Mm. So it was one meal a day and it was all the basic ingredients. So that's the start of the paella. Mm. Because it was with, when they feel starving, they hunting a rabbit and they use the snails and the rabbit and some vegetables from the countryside and use the water from the river. So it was very basic food, prepare the fire with the wood on the when they were watching the animals and start and the rice and preparing the meal and after them the fishermen start doing the same with the leftovers or the discard fish or seafood, exactly the same with grain, with rice, and they add sometimes legumes to have all the proteins and everything on the meal. So it's very interesting how we introduce the rice. And the rice in Spain was introduced in with the commerce in the Mediterranean by the Arabs. Because in the beginning, we didn't produce the rice, but the Arabs show us how to prepare and harvest and have the seeds and everything with the
it's
rice.
It's interesting how what we eat, where the idea came from, and how it travels around the world, and well, maybe we can do this reverse now and give our message again back to the world of okay, now be careful with this, be careful with that. Well, because over the years and the centuries, we learn a couple of things, right?
Yes, and yes, exactly.
We
a lot.
Into the right direction.
A lot, right. And it's so funny how we mix the rice with the saffron, and it was introduced by the Arabs too in our country. But it was not our basic ingredient. We eat a lot with the paella, but when we cook, like the recipe we're having today, like the white garlic rice, we mix with meatballs, with chicken, with sauce. We always use like a side.
Right.
So it's a substitute of the fries or mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes or whatever. So it's like another option to eat with meat, fish, vegetables, or whatever. So it's just, I'm glad you're talking about the balance. It's important to have rice in our diet, but just a balance. Not only rice or not only cereals. But let's go to the point because I know everyone listen our podcast thinking in health for toddlers and babies. So when it's good to start introducing cereals or rice to our babies?
So between between 4 and 6 months.
Okay.
But in the form of baby rice cereal or baby cereal, we don't want to do the grain because they don't have the ability to chew and swallow that kind. They can produce gagging and you may lose the whole meal. So the puree, kind of like a baby cereal consistency, between 4 and 6 months. Then about 9 months, when they start tolerating some more lumpy food and what I tell the parents is, well, if you make rice, you can add a spoonful to the baby food that you already prepare, yeah, home or the commercial one, just to add some lumpiness to it and see where the baby is as far as processing and moving that in the mouth and being able to swallow it without triggering the gag reflex. Yeah,
because I think, Marta, I don't know if I'm confused or not, and you can tell me, but as longer as we wait to give different textures to our baby, as more difficult it's going to be to introduce them to eating food. Like if we wait until 9 months to start giving them with a spoon any food, probably it's more difficult for them to start swallowing or chewing the food, no? I think they have to start feeling different textures of the food.
You know, wait that long because we are all very happy to give the baby that piece of cake.
Yeah, a little thing we have on the table.
Yes,
so
if anything,
we see the face.
Let's take the picture. But yes, is more the ability. There is some kind of learning on it. Yes, sure. But a lot is having the neurological maturity to do it. It's like I tell the parents, it's like your legs. You have legs when you're born, but you don't put the baby to walk because you won't be able to. So it has to have the maturity to coordinate those muscles and to make sure that safely is walking. Same thing with those muscles, that it's more than 30 muscles that intervene in chewing and swallowing. And the nervous system has to be mature enough to safely do it. And if we try too early, like I have patients with the typical picture of the baby 5 months old, 4 months old, holding a piece of bread and kind of because the teeth are being made in. It's so cute and they're drooling and well, and I go, I have seen babies choking with food. So, and maybe the first bite won't do anything because they are able to pass that one, but those muscles get fatigued too. And if you push it too far or too fast, it may lead to not pretty pictures anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's what we say, well, you start between 4 and 6 months, and then after 6 months, you start maybe, or 7 months, adding a little bit of thicker. When you make the baby food, make it a little thicker and see how they react, and then even thicker. Then is when you start adding table food to the baby food, like around 8-9 months, which is a good moment to add that rice, the nice rice that you made, and it has olive oil and it has garlic and it has all that, it tastes so good. You can start adding it, maybe a spoonful to it. And toddlers, oh well, those can have just eat it like we eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mixed with a variety of foods, like you say, with your meatballs or with your.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I remember with my kids when they were babies, and we start introduce the cereals on the bottle
inside the yes
inside mm-hmm. the bottle, and I heard many times today, and I heard from you too, like this is wrong. So the cereals don't have to be on the bottle; has to be with the spoon. So it's the best moment the kids can start eating by themselves, even if mess the whole table everything. But it's good to introduce the cereals at the same time with the spoon for them.
Yes, always with the spoon. Always, well, of course, you're going to have to feed the baby, you know, for 6 months. But always with the spoon. And the only exception to that, and you're right, is babies with reflux. We have a lot of babies that may be a month old, 2 months old, and they reflux to where, I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's not just speeding up a little bit. And then what we recommend is to add a spoonful of cereal to the bottle, right?
Okay, but this is an exception.
This is an exception.
It's not the regular babies or kids.
No, it's not for nutrition purposes either. It's not for that. It's to make the food a little thicker, so it hopefully it will stay there in the stomach. They have formulas now that already have the added cereal, and in contact with the acidity of the stomach, it becomes even thicker. And so we have all that, and it's okay to do it under those circumstances. The American Academy of Pediatrics now says that instead of putting rice for that purpose, kids with reflux, use oatmeal, baby oatmeal instead of. So that way you don't give so much rice. And that all came about because of the arsenic, the fear.
The sugar.
Yes. So that is the story with the reason why we don't want to put it in the bottle, and it doesn't help to sleep through the night. I can say that up front. It has nothing to sleeping through the night. Has nothing to do with having a full belly. Nothing. It's a little bit of maturity, a little bit of learning. We can explain that in another chapter, but
it's very interesting how we develop the different
the brain, how it develops and what you learn. But the problem with putting cereal inside the bottle is that then you make that formula thicker, more nutrient rich, which is not good for your kidneys. Not only the stomach that could not be able to, or not, I don't know, some babies are able to digest anything, but it's not good for your kidneys. It has to come up with enough fluid to now clear all those nutrients from you. So a formula, you give alone, or breast milk, you give alone. And then when you are ready to introduce the cereal, you do it with a spoon, you mix it in a
bowl. Papilla.
Papilla, papilla de cereales.
Yes, there papilla de cereales.
Papilla de cereales. So that's why don't you give us the recipe? Because we are trying to figure out what is it that you're going to teach us.
Yes, today. But I think it's very interesting talking and know more about cereals and rice. And it's good to know the rice is gluten-free, has a lot of iron, and it's a source of energy too.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, Marta, this recipe is so simple, and I learned from my grandma. But it's like something you have in your fridge and you can use with anything. It's like the tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. You can use tomato sauce for everything. Okay, this recipe with white rice and garlic is so simple because you need only just 3-4 cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, of course, extra virgin olive oil, and 1/2 cup and 1 cup of water. So always is half cup of rice and 1 cup of water. So I see. Always like a double portion of water than the rice.
Yes.
So if you don't want to use cup, you can use a glass. Okay, if you use 1 glass of rice, remember 2 glasses of hot water to make it. So you can give the rice enough hydration to cook and give good flavor. To use garlic is just heat the olive oil and fry a little the garlic. Careful, don't burn the garlic because change totally the flavor. So you just make the garlic gold color and just add the rice and shocking the rice with the olive oil and the garlic and impregnate all the flavor of the garlic and olive oil in the rice and start adding. Careful, out of the heat, the water is slowly, hot water, and keep boiling until all the water disappear and all the flavor. So I like to add bay leaves.
Oh, bay leaves, yeah.
Bay leaves.
And salt, right?
Salt. Yes, you can add a little salt.
To taste.
And this white rice is perfect for a baby food if you want to remove 2-3 spoons for the puree of your baby, and it's perfect. Or you can use for the rest of the family or for your toddler with tomato sauce, with some chicken fingers or whatever other food, and it's perfect. So it's something you have to play, like one day French fries, other day vegetables or peas, other day white rice. So it's something I would like you to learn how to make it and keep on your fridge for any moment you want to prepare some meal so quickly, even with eggs.
Oh.
You know, it was one of my favorite plate when I was a kid, and it was my birthday. I always ask my mom, like, okay, what is your favorite food? And I say, eggs and sarap with garlic white rice and tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a banana. So you can fry a banana, and for us it's arroz a la cubana, Cuban rice style in Spain. And it's one of my favorite, and it has everything. Because has the banana, has the eggs, or has protein, has grain, has fruit, everything. But we are going to show you how to make it in our next YouTube channel chapter with this recipe. And we are so glad to having you listen our podcast today. And thank you so much. And we hope you can subscribe to our YouTube channel or to our podcast. And please ask any question. Don't hesitate to ask any questions, and we will be so glad to answer you.
Just please follow us. Let us know what you think. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.